As Sarah said, my name is Jenny Montoya-Tanzi, and I'm here from Oakland, so opposite experience of Maureen, I am very cold and did not bring a down vest. I also have a baby who just turned 4 weeks on Sunday, so I haven't had a full REM cycle in a while, so forgive me if I mix my words up or anything like that. But I'm going to talk a little bit about similar topic to Maureen, but focused on what is happening in California with respect to link people in the criminal justice system to health coverage and treatment under the Affordable Care Act. I wanted to say really quickly first, though, Californians for Safety and Justice, which is the organization that I work for, I lead sort of like our health work, but we are actually more of a criminal justice reform advocacy organization, and I would say I didn't want to give this talk without mentioning that I think actually the most significant thing that our organization has done that will improve people's health in California, actually it's not at all related to my specific work, but happened on November 4th. Our organization passed a ballot measure that has shifted drug possession and 6 low-level property crimes in California from felonies to misdemeanors. And it actually is going to redirect the savings in the criminal justice system to drug treatment and mental health treatment, so there is a health angle there, which is exciting. But the really exciting thing about it is that it's retroactive, and it's going to allow about 500,000 people in California to clear their criminal records and get a felony off of their record and hopefully get access to a job, you know, a place to live, education, which are, you know, probably equally important to accessing health coverage in terms of ensuring that people can live healthy lives long term. So really excited about that, and we're not, you know, the first people to make drug possession a misdemeanor. Actually, there are other states that have done that, but I'm hopeful that, you know, this is the first time voters have you know, given it approval to that, and I'm hopeful that that can spread to other states. So I just wanted to mention how exciting I think that is. Let's see here. Oh, I have no relationships to disclose, although I am also employed, much like Maureen. Maureen talked a little bit about what's exciting about the Affordable Care Act with respect to criminal justice populations, particularly expanded eligibility. In California, we actually also have strengthened significantly the substance abuse benefit that's available under Medicaid. It used to be very limited, and now there are a lot of additional benefits that are available to everybody on Medicaid, including intensive outpatient and also potentially including residential treatment. As we all know, there's a lot of new federal funds coming in under the expansion of Medicaid. In addition to that huge historical transition in the public health system in California, there's also been a really significant transition over the last couple of years in the public safety arena in California. And those two trends have really made a lot of the work that we've done in California possible. So the piece in the public safety area is public safety realignment in response to decades of overcrowding and issues with the conditions in the state prison system in California. The Supreme Court in 2011 upheld an order by the Ninth Circuit to reduce California state prison population fairly significantly, and in order to effectuate that, the governor put in place public safety realignment, which transferred about 25,000 people from the state prison system in California to county jurisdictions. So a lot of additional responsibility and some additional resources for counties. Our organization was actually formed just a couple of years ago, sort of in response to public safety realignment, to help support counties in putting some better practices in place and hopefully avoid replicating the same issues that we've seen at the state level, at the local level. So counties taking on a lot of additional people who are in for drug offenses in particular, and then these new coverage opportunities were sort of a match made in heaven from our perspective. So in 2013 was really about preparing for January 1st in terms of the Medicaid expansion. So California obviously opted to implement the medical expansion. We also, our organization sponsored bill that became a law in 2013 called AB 720, which first mandated that counties suspend rather than terminate Medi-Cal benefits for people who enter custody, and importantly that they reactivate those benefits on the day of release from jail. It also established a process for counties to do jail-based enrollment. So basically set up a system for a county agency to go into a jail and do enrollment. That was really, I think, important in encouraging a lot of counties to start thinking about doing enrollment for their criminal justice populations. AB 82 is another law that was important that passed last year, which was the California Endowment, which is a health foundation in California, actually gave the state of California about $26 million to do Medicaid outreach to vulnerable populations, meaning people with mental illness, homeless, people reentering from jail and prison. And the California took that money and put it in like a Medicaid administrative activities machine and doubled it. So that it's about $50 million, and it's a really significant sort of resource infusion to do this type of work. We also did sort of, as Maureen said, like a door-to-door canvas of all the counties in California and set up sort of work and planning sessions with a lot of different county agencies to prepare for 2014. And then some counties actually got started early. We had a Bridge to Reform waiver where counties could opt to expand Medi-Cal early, and some took advantage of that to actually do some criminal justice-based enrollment in 2013. So the rest of my presentation, I'm just going to sort of talk about, okay, what's happening now? There's a ton of activity in California in many, many counties around enrollment of people in jail and on probation, and we recently surveyed all 58 counties in California over the summer, got a pretty good response. We heard from 46 of them, and all the large population counties in California, so there's a few very small rural counties that did not respond to the survey. What we learned is that all 46 counties that responded are either currently providing or have active plans to provide enrollment assistance to their local criminal justice population. So that's a lot of, you know, counties to learn from who are doing good creative work. They're using a range of enrollment strategies, which we'll talk about. And some counties are also beginning to sort of move on to that phase two where they're connecting people in their justice system to community treatment that's covered by Medi-Cal. And then we talked about challenges. About 70% of the counties that responded are currently providing enrollment assistance to both individuals on probation and individuals in their county jail. A smaller group are planning enrollment assistance to begin in 2014, and then an even smaller group of counties are going to start in 2015. And actually, I should say, since we surveyed in the summer, some of these counties that were planning in the summer are now also in the group that's currently providing enrollment assistance. So some counties are targeting specific populations, and others are really trying to hit their whole county jail population. It tends to depend on the size of the jail. So about half of counties don't have a specific target. They're just trying to hit everybody that comes in the door and gets booked into jail. Some counties are focused on the sentenced population more so than the pretrial population, and that's because from a technical perspective, some counties have found it more challenging to enroll people pretrial, both because of really short lengths of stay for people who, you know, just stay overnight or a couple days before they're released pretrial. But then also, I think more significantly, counties are still trying to figure out how to enroll somebody who has an uncertain release date. They feel like, okay, if they feel like they know for sure this person's sentence is X length, they're going to get out on this day, then they can process their Medi-Cal application accordingly so that they get their benefits and get enrolled on the day of their release. Pretrial has been more challenging for some counties, although there are counties that have cracked the code on that. So one thing I suspected, and Maureen kind of alluded to in her presentation, there's some money at stake in the correctional health care budget for counties who can enroll people who are going to be hospitalized as an inpatient in a community hospital while they're in jail. So one thing I suspected was that some counties were going to be enrolling everybody, or some people were going to be, you know, enrolling all their mentally ill people in the jail, but a lot of counties were kind of just in it for the money, and they just were going to enroll people who were going to be hospitalized. We found that to not be true at all. There's only one county in California that said we're just focused on people who are going to receive inpatient care. So I think counties actually largely have kind of understood that, at least even from a fiscal perspective, there's more at stake for them than just their inpatient population. So that was really heartening. In terms of probation-based enrollment, a lot of counties are trying to enroll all their probationers. AB 109, that's actually the population of people impacted by public safety realignment, the law that I was talking about that moved state prisoners to the county. So that's sort of a population that's receiving a lot of intensive services in California. Felony probation, sort of in contrast to AB 109, that's people who would have been on probation before public safety realignment was passed. And I think because there are some additional resources for the AB 109 population, a lot of probation chiefs said, well, it's been really exciting to see what we can do with people when we actually have money to send them to treatment through AB 109. We'd like to try to extend that type of service to everyone on probation, and so that's why they've focused on felony probationers. And then some are working with their specialty caseloads. Efforts are highly collaborative, so an average of 4 county agencies or community organizations are involved in each county, and there's a lot of different players at the table depending on the effort. So law enforcement agencies, but also county administrative offices, that's sort of the people who crunch the numbers for the county. So I think they were sort of able to, where incentives aren't necessarily aligned for any individual county agency, they were able to kind of like bring people together and say, well, this makes sense for our county budget overall. Obviously, social service agencies are a huge player here. But some other fun ones, so there are a couple counties where the managed care plan is working on this. A lot of local clinics have gotten involved because they're already doing enrollment and see this as sort of the population that they're going to be treating when they get out. Public defenders have taken a really active role in some counties. There's actually some counties where that's really like the site of enrollment, either that people get enrolled at the public defender's office or that the public defender has hired enrollment staff to go into the jail and do enrollment because they see this as an opportunity to come in and say, judge, this person's already got Medicaid. All you have to do is, you know, send them to X treatment thing. It'll be covered. So that's been good to see too. I should say really quick, not on the people in jail or probation, but district attorneys run victim services in California, and they have actually been, in addition to interested about, you know, people on probation and in jail, they've also been very interested in seeing how they can use the ACA to help provide services to crime victims that need, for example, mental health treatment to help them recover. And there are a lot of people, for example, people on probation who might be crime victims in California who aren't eligible for victims compensation, so it can kind of be a good way to plug the gaps there. So whatever, just a little side note on crime victims. Where are people getting their money? I mentioned this AB 82 outreach grant that's specifically for outreach to vulnerable populations under Medi-Cal. So about 9 counties are using those specific, really targeted funds for this effort, but there are many other counties that are using other more generic sources that a lot of other states or other counties could access. So for example, the Covered California In-Person Assistance Program, that's our Navigator program in California. We actually never launched our Navigator program, but this is the thing that pays people to enroll folks. And we are really lucky in California that we actually don't just provide funds for people to enroll in the exchanges. We also have money available to help people enroll in Medi-Cal through that program. Some counties are using their general funds for this, which is really cool. I mean, they clearly see this as a good strategy, a good sort of investment to help them save in other areas. The County Medicaid Administrative Activities Fund in California, you can use what's called MA funding to pay for enrollment assistance, even when somebody is in jail, if they're going to be out in the next month. So that's a good source of funding for jail-based and probation-based enrollment assistance. The general money that the state gives the counties to do Medi-Cal eligibility is being used, and then AB 109. This is money that's controlled by really law enforcement. In California counties, the probation chief is the head of the committee that decides where that money goes. The sheriff is also at the table. And so the fact that over 20 counties in California are using law enforcement funds to pay for Medi-Cal enrollment is pretty awesome. To close, I wanted to just share a few exciting examples of what specifically people are doing in different counties. There's a lot of really creative work going on at the county level in California, and a lot of it was expressed in the survey, but we're also following up to do more in-depth interviews with all of the counties that responded and are finding out a lot of really cool sort of promising practices that we're hoping to spread around the state. So we actually are blessed to have somebody involved in San Diego here. Kellen Rusignelle is with the ACLU in San Diego. But they've been, they got an early start in San Diego County working on justice population enrollment. They started doing jail applications in 2013. And they've now developed a workshop for people in jail on the Affordable Care Act and Medi-Cal that sort of centers on what are the benefits? How do you use them? How do you find, you know, a primary care physician? How do you access mental health treatment once you get out into the community? And they're offering that to people right before they, you know, give people the opportunity to apply, and they found it really helps increase participation and hopefully will help, you know, increase people's access to treatment when they're out. Merced County, They actually have sort of like extended application assistance to all their sentenced inmates, and they're doing referrals for people in their probation population. So this is sort of for counties that have had a tough time with short lengths of stay for pretrial, that they can actually do referrals is a good way to reach those folks. Shasta County, way up north, they have a jail health and wellness initiative that's much broader, that kind of that gives people credit on their sentences for a lot of things like completing treatment while they're in custody, enrolling or completing parenting classes while they're in custody, but they also give 2 days of credit for completing a Medi-Cal application, and that definitely helps people get inspired to complete a Medi-Cal application, so that's cool. Placer County is doing a really cool sort of technological solution where they're using existing county data from criminal justice sources, so from their booking system and from their probation system, as well as from their social services database to pre-fill the health insurance application. In many instances, that means that the only thing the individual in jail needs to do is sign, and they're done. And a lot of other counties could do that too, but Placer County, for whatever reason, is ahead of the curve on the data front. In Ventura, they have a sort of a more of a court-focused enrollment effort where they're doing presentations at the court. They have a special court for out-of-custody drug and alcohol defendants there, and the public defender sends someone who gives a presentation about the ACA and Medi-Cal and then passes out applications, and while people are waiting in court, they fill it out and hand it back, and the public defender submits it. And they also are doing Medi-Cal outreach at the public defender's office for misdemeanors, and so the public defender there, this is an example where they've gotten really involved. In Yolo County, yes, we have a county in California called Yolo County, they actually have, the probation department has enrolled their entire medium and high-risk probation population already into Medi-Cal. And the way they've done that is through partnerships with three community clinics who each spend a couple of days a week at the probation office providing enrollment assistance, and then also a direct link to an appointment with, you know, whatever doctor or specialist the person might want to see at the clinic. And the other thing that Yolo's done that's really cool is they have restructured their contracts with treatment providers such that Medi-Cal or other health coverage is now where the treatment provider goes to first for payment for whatever services they're providing to the person on probation, and probation is billed for whatever isn't covered by the insurer. And Yolo County has already seen really significant for the size of their program savings on those contracts as a result, which is enabling them to do other, you know, extend other types of services to their folks. I think as of August, they had saved $150,000 on those contracts, which for a county the size of Yolo and the size of their probation population is a pretty big saving. Santa Clara County has a reentry center where they do enrollment, they also do risk assessment, and they also have behavioral health services offered within the reentry center. So it's sort of a single point of contact to take care of all of this, and it helps with retention. So I think any county that has like day reporting centers could sort of integrate Medi-Cal into their day reporting center, whether that's enrollment or also just bringing in like federal funds to help pay for the services that they offer there. And LA County, a third of our whole criminal justice population, a third of our state's population in general, the sheriff and probation are both doing enrollment assistance, and we're actually really involved in helping them do that. And they're using a similar model in probation as Yolo. So we have local clinics from around LA County who are coming into probation offices to do enrollment assistance, and we're citing them. So hopefully, you know, the clinic is just a few blocks away, and it's a really easy link to people who maybe are used to having to take a bus all the way across LA County to see their doctor, and now, you know, are learning, oh, actually, I can access care right down the street from where I have to report on a weekly or monthly basis anyway. Okay, so then to close, just a couple challenges that counties listed that they're encountering. So one system, I think this is, for anybody who's trying to do this in any state, I think this is a big challenge, just that the welfare systems, like the databases and the eligibility machines in California are not fully upgraded and updated to deal with, to deal with medical enrollment overall, but particularly to deal with a population that's eligible one day and then not, and then eligible again. Then there are barriers around information sharing between county agencies. So I mentioned Placer has been able to leverage all this existing county data. There are other counties where county councils take like a much more conservative approach to HIPAA or privacy or just information sharing in general, where they have challenges around that. And not just from a Medi-Cal eligibility perspective, but also from a sort of better integrating correctional health with community health and continuity of care. So that's been an issue. As I mentioned, our state is now developing this guidance, but we need clear guidelines for inmate applications that don't depend on a known release date, because even for the sentenced population, there are a lot of counties that are under population caps in California and are really sentenced inmates at totally unpredictable times as well. Additional resources needed for housing and intensive case management. I think housing really came up as a barrier for people here. It's like, okay, well, if we can get people into treatment, but are they going to stay, you know, if they don't have a place to live, and that we don't have new money for that for the most part. And then provider capacity. So do we have, you know, sufficient placements to really meet the need for all these people who are getting enrolled now? I think we're doing pretty well in outpatient at the moment, but there are other areas where we're really lacking, like detox. And the IMD exclusion, which limits the size of residential drug treatment facilities that can be paid for by Medi-Cal, is a huge barrier across the nation, and including in California. So as I mentioned, we're going to be doing some additional research. Actually, right now, I'm not talking to anyone because I'm on maternity leave, but other people at my work are doing these in-depth interviews with all these counties that responded to the survey, learning a lot of great stuff that we can help spread county by county around the state, and we're going to be setting up some peer-to-peer learning opportunities so that counties that are a little bit more ahead of the curve can visit those that are really, you know, trying to get started and show them how it's done. So that's what's happening in California.